Hello and welcome to the Corner 3 Playoff Edition. It's the Mavs-Clippers preview. We're here posted up and spotted up in Studio 41 talking all things 2024 playoffs. Oh boy, this is it. This is why we play. This is the best time of year. My name is Bobby Corella. Joining me today, as always, as most of the time, Austin Ivan. Austin, give me a drink rundown. What do we got there today?
You're calling me out that I've missed a couple shows this season.
Just a few.
A refresher, Starbucks. No coffee this morning. I had a lot of coffee this week. Rangers had early games all week.
That's right.
So,
what's the call time like for a noon first pitch?
6 a.m. if it's a 12:10 first pitch.
No thanks.
Yeah. So, we're going with the refresher today.
How much do you love baseball after
Peach,
that?
Passion fruit. Baseball, my third favorite sport.
Ah, but basketball is number one, right?
Yeah.
Basketball is number 0.5, right?
What's your second favorite?
College football.
Where's hockey?
Dallas Stars would be number three, but hockey in general would be lower than baseball.
You're not tuning in for Panthers Bruins?
No.
It'll be a good series.
But you'll tune in for 5 hours for Rangers.
Can't miss Jack Leiter's debut, right? Yeah. So that's enough baseball talk. Isaac Harris, how are we feeling?
Feeling great. Playoffs, let's do this. I'm concerned about how much coffee you've had, though.
I've had one coffee.
It seems like it was one every hour.
I had one coffee today. I had one coffee yesterday. I also had a smoothie yesterday. It was very nice.
Oh,
we had a smoothie guy come. I don't know what company it's from, but it was really good.
We had a
playoff pep rally here at Mavs HQ yesterday.
Did you win anything?
I won a $50 gift card.
Uh-oh, to where?
This smoothie place?
Starbucks?
No, to Lululemon.
Ooh, do you own anything Lulu?
No, I don't. I've heard their pants are awesome.
The ABC pants.
Okay.
Yep. I'm just trying to picture you wearing anything from Lulu.
I've heard the pants are good.
Yeah.
From a lot of people.
Please.
I got my dad and brother like hooked on them.
Okay.
And they didn't know what Lulu was. And now that's all either of them wear.
All right. Well, hey, maybe I'll
give it a try.
Wear them to one of the playoff games.
Let us know when you go shopping at Lulu.
Yeah.
I will. I can redeem it online. I might do that. Yeah, vlog. Yeah, maybe I will.
And then do a try-on haul after.
A what?
Try-on haul.
What is that?
You try on everything you buy.
On camera?
Yes.
I'm not doing that.
Do like a film breakdown of you going in the...
Yeah, the X's and O's.
Film room.
Of me picking and rolling to the try-on room for my live stream.
I can't wait.
Going to get
this.
Reported and blocked and suspended.
You ever sell your closet? Like your clothes out of your closet?
No. I don't think anyone would buy them, dude. okay. Playoff preview episode of the Corner 3. I got my shirt. One for... I don't really know if it's one... I think it's one for all, but it's kind of one for Dallas. I think... I don't know if we're giving these away or not. I don't know.
I
this might be
branding.
Like a... This might be super limited edition. Maybe you need to go to the mavs.com/mavs shop.
This is something you could sell then.
I could sell this right off my back. Hey, if you want a game used, game worn one for Dallas shirt.
Will you autograph
comment
it?
Comment below or something. Yeah, I'll sign it. I don't care. Whatever. Donate the money to charity, to the Mavs Foundation.
Aww.
It'll be all yours. It's Mavs Clippers, game one, Sunday at 2:30. We're going to go wall to wall with our coverage, previewing this series. And we're going to start from a bird's eye view, Isaac, because on Welcome to Mavs Land, which is on every Monday on the Mavs YouTube channel, you kind of first distributed this take and then you echoed it again on Wednesday during our live stream on Wednesday morning right here on the Mavs YouTube channel. If you're listening, we got video to accompany this podcast. This is Mavs Clippers 3, right? This is the third time the Mavs and Clippers have met in the playoffs over the last five seasons, but it doesn't really feel like round three to you. Why not?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's easy to say round three, but they're just so different. Both sides are so different that I don't know if I can go. I started off by saying round three, but I mean, you look at the Mavericks, it's like, well, what's the same? Like, yeah, I mean, you have the Dwights, the Tim Hardaways, the Maxies are still there alongside Luka. But those guys are all like down a notch in the rotation now, coming off the bench. And you've replaced them. I mean, Kyrie Irving Luka said it after practice the other day, like, hey, what's the biggest difference between now and the last time you played the Clippers in the playoffs? And Luka, in all of his words, we have Kai. And, you know, and we talked about on Wednesday, Brunson just wasn't who Brunson is now when the last time we played the Clippers. So Luka didn't, you know, we didn't have Kyrie Irving. We didn't have these other guys. I mean, even this Mavericks team right now compared to the Mavericks team who played the Clippers three times earlier in the season didn't have PJ and Gafford. It was before the trades. You look at the Clippers, they have some familiar faces, but they also have new faces too. Like James Harden's a huge difference for this team. Having Russ on this team, they don't have the Nick Batums and the Robert Covingtons and Marcus Morrises of the world either. So I know there's some familiar faces. I get it. Luka, Paul George, Kawhi, even Ty Lue. But I think the differences are so big that it's really kind of hard to even like compare. Like Boban started and played a ton of minutes the last time that we watched these two teams play in the playoffs. So I don't think it's round three for me. I think it's two different teams, same organizations, but two different teams.
No, I was just going to say, like, for fans and for people that live in Dallas, like, they feel like it's round three because that's what they remember. It's been recent times that the Mavs and Clippers have faced up in the playoffs. But, like, for anyone besides fans, like, anyone within the organization, they don't really think that. Like, PJ said that not only did he not watch Dallas and the Clippers play in either of those playoff series, he didn't watch any playoffs, really. He's like, I wasn't in the playoffs. Like, I wasn't watching other teams play in the playoffs. So, like, he has, like, no really, like, correlation of, like, what happened in 2020 and 2021. And then, like, Derek Lively was in high school at that time. So, like, this team, both sides, completely different. Like, you talked about everyone who wasn't there who has been here, but, like, completely different roles of how they play and everything. So, yeah. From maybe an outside perspective, fans, like the community of Dallas, they feel like that. But for anyone within this team or organization, I don't think they really are like thinking about those past two playoff series and like, is it the same? Is it like is it going to be the same or is it going
to
be different?
I mean, going back to those first two series, it felt like the Mavs were in the figure it out, what are we doing here kind of stage of their development as a team. In 2020, Jalen Brunson did not play in that series. He was hurt in the bubble. And then in 2021, the last four games of that series, he averaged under 14 minutes a game, 4.5 points on 31% shooting, 33% from the floor, or from three. So he was kind of a non-factor down the stretch of that series. And then KP obviously he got Kawhi'd in that series pretty hard, and the Mavs didn't really go through him. And so it was a lot of Luka figuring out what he's capable of, right? Like, he put up really gaudy stat lines, but compared to his regular season production, his playoff production was like incomprehensible. Mm-hmm. But now he's doing what he did against the Clippers like on a nightly basis now. So like, we can't even imagine what he'll be capable of this time. The Mavs do feel like they have more of an identity, more of an established like what we're doing here kind of feel. However, some of their role players, like you just said, Austin, like PJ, Gafford, Lively, you know, Gafford and Dante Exum have been in the playoffs before, but kind of as like supporting pieces. But for a lot of the other guys on this team, this is their first foray into the big spotlight. So
Lively was in high school.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I was like, was he in middle school? Like,
so, I mean, there's much less of a question about what the Mavs' best players will do. You know, I think everyone feels pretty confident about Kyrie Irving. I think everyone feels really confident about Luka.
Mm-hmm.
The only question marks are, can the other guys step up, mm-hmm. right? And we'll talk about those other guys. We'll talk about the Mavs' perspective a little later on. But it's the end of the week. You've been listening to Mavs Clippers preview content all week from a Mavs point of view. But let's talk about the Clippers for a little bit. I guess from a Mavs point of view, but let's get to know the opposition, right? Let's get to know the guys that the Mavs are going to be competing against in this series. We know and we hope we know what the Mavs are capable of, finishing this season as one of the hottest teams in the league, but what exactly are they facing in the first round? Okay, so the Clippers, I don't need to give you too much of a statistical rundown this year, but this year, top five offense, around league average defense, a similar statistical profile to the Mavs. However, the Mavs had that big midseason trade, which kind of shifted things for them. For the Clippers, they made their big trade for James Harden in like week one of the regular season. It was a long, long time ago. So they had much longer time to figure it out. And they did find their form. Of course, Kawhi was missing for them down the stretch, but we suspect that he'll be available and ready to go for game one. With that said, they have this big three, Kawhi, Paul George, and James Harden. Which of those three Clippers, let's just focus on them in particular, Austin, which of the Clippers' big three having a great series would be most dangerous for the Mavs? Which of them going off could spell doom for this thing?
I'll go with Kawhi just because he is a little bit of a question mark on his health of how he is. He, you know, we are expecting him to play. All the Mavericks, Daniel Gafford, everyone has talked about, we are preparing like he's going to play, like he's completely healthy, like he is at 100%.
Has not played since March 31st.
Right. So we still don't know, but you have to prepare that he is going to play. But that's why I think he could be like the biggest difference maker, kind of X factor out of those three guys, because the Mavericks are 100% ready and prepared for Harden, for Paul George. They are ready for Kawhi, but they still don't know what you're going to get out of him. So if you can get his full potential of what we know he can do, I think that makes the biggest difference. In his 13 playoff games versus the Mavericks in 2020 and 2021, he averaged 32, 9, and 5.
Ugh.
So
on probably really good percentages too.
You
right?
Didn't have to say that.
Yeah,
that
why are you hurts. Rubbing salt in the wound?
Hey, okay, I'll give you something good. Luka in those 13 games.
Okay.
34, 9, and 10.
Okay.
Shooting 49% from the field and 39 from three. Okay, so that's,
like
that's even
like
better.
A really, really hot wing, but then getting a bite of ice cream to sort of like settle you.
So Luka's number is still better, but Kawhi has had good numbers in the playoffs against the Mavs those last two times that we've seen them. So I'm going to go with that. If he is fully healthy and he plays like that, then he could be the biggest difference maker for the Clippers.
His game six against the Mavs in 2021 was one of the greatest games I've ever seen in my life from anybody. That was just, it sucked so bad, but also it was so awesome to see. Like, he just went to a special place.
I think in person, it's hard for me to think of a better singular performance. I mean, maybe the Luka, you know, Knicks game. But
that was pretty good, but that wasn't game six of a playoff series when you're down 3-2 on the road. I mean, that was...
I know, that's why I'm like trying to like wrap my head around what would top that, but I think that's at the top.
Hopefully we don't see it again. How about that? Isaac, what about you? Who are you having nightmares about?
Yeah, I mean, I'll lean Paul George. You know, either way, Kawhi, you know, he's, I think, questionable. We'll see what happens for, you know, for Sunday. Ty Lue is like getting frustrated because he's getting asked about it every single day.
It's almost like it's a big deal.
And it's like, yeah, this is a, you know, huge deal. Either way, Kawhi's probably not going to be 100%. And then, you know, so when you look at the two-way aspect of it, then you look at Paul George and say, man, like if he has you as in Paul George, if he has his, you know, one of his best playoff series, or he's at the top of his game on both sides of the ball, that means he's going to guard one of Kyrie or Luka. I think Terrence Mann will take, you know, the other one. So if he is like top of his game on defense, guarding one of those guys, and he's like, hey, I'm one of the top options here, if Kawhi's not 100%, that scares me because of the two-way aspect of his game.
This season, the Mavs played the Clippers three times. Now, we can't take too much from those games, but they played three games against the Mavs. Paul George missed one of those games. In one of those games, he was 9 of 19 for 25 points. The Clippers won by 19 points. In one of those games, he was 3 for 12 with 8 points, and the Clippers lost by 18.
Hey, I'll take one of those.
I'll take six of those or four of those, however many you need. Paul George is an all-star. Like, he's a really, really good player. You know,
probably going to be an all-NBA player, too. He'd probably be named third team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, you know, who takes him from Dallas' side? Is it a, you know, is it a PJ? Is it Derek Jones? Who, you know, Dallas has their own things they have to figure out on that side of the ball.
And we'll take a look at how the Clippers might go about defending the Mavs, but Paul George could be a big, big part of that on both Luka and Kyrie. I can't imagine the amount of strain that both PG and Kawhi will be under, having to defend Luka and Kyrie probably a whole lot for maybe half of the game each or something, and also have to give them 25 or 30 points on offense. That is going to be a tough test for those guys. Hopefully they fail. For me, though, it's James Harden. And, you know, Paul George and Kawhi, I suspect they're both going to be really, really good. Harden's numbers with the Clippers, at least his scoring numbers, have fallen off a little bit, but his assist numbers are as high as they've ever been in his career. He can set the table for those two guys. You know, if you think back to the 2020 and 2021 series, Kawhi and Paul George are kind of like the de facto point guards. Like, they didn't really have a table setter for them. You know, they would play like Reggie Jackson, or I guess like Terrence Mann or Rondo. Like, kind of these guys would sort of dribble the ball up the floor sometimes, but for the most part, it was a lot of ISO between those two. But when you have a guy like Harden that can get in the lane, break his man down, or use a pick to do it, kind of get in the pick and roll, and has the floor vision to pass it to either corner, can create offense from out of nowhere and is serving these guys up open looks the way that Luka can for his teammates, then all of a sudden Kawhi and Paul George's jobs become a whole lot easier. They don't have to grind on offense to create everything. They can just sort of chill out and get free points that way. And so maybe not even Harden scoring is what worries me, although if he does score a lot, that could be very bad. But it's his floor vision. It's his passing ability, his playmaking ability could be a big problem for the Mavs, especially if the Clippers end up going small, because then Harden's going to have a whole lot of space to operate and he's going to have a whole lot of shooters to target, including a couple guys that we're about to talk about that aren't part of that big three. But I think this is what makes the Clippers such a dangerous team, is we all just spelled out three very different, very real ways where like superstars and like future Hall of Famers could swing this series in their favor. You know, let's not write this off as like an automatic Mavs win because they played well for a couple months. Like, this is going to be a really, really tough series.
Yeah, and you know, you look at Harden and where he's the most efficient. It's also if they get to slow the ball down and really let him dissect everything. You know, pace is going to be one of the bigger talking points of this whole series because the Clippers are a slower paced team. I think they're 23rd in pace compared to Dallas's 6th. And if Dallas can just keep on, you know, hey, let's pick up the pace, let's get out in transition, let's just keep the ball going. You look at this Clippers team, they have three guys who are great scoring in isolation. They're great pick and roll guys, and they're just great scorers. So it's like, at any point, hey, let's slow this thing down. Let's get the ball to one of those three guys and run a pick and roll or run, you know, ISO it out and then let them kick out. And they have really efficient shooters because they're a really good three-point shooting team too. I think 4th in the league or 5th in the league. So that's the game that they want to get to. And if you allow James Harden, a Paul George, a healthy Kawhi Leonard at the end of games or whenever, like slow the ball down and let them kind of dissect the defense, that's where it could get really dangerous for Dallas. And they got to work on trying to limit those chances for the Clippers.
And we'll talk a little bit more about pace here later on too, because in the playoffs, the old adage goes, the game slows down. And normally for the Mavs, hey, that's great. But maybe not this year. This year they like keeping it open. Okay, so outside of those three future Hall of Famers, the Clippers do have another guy that'll end up in the Hall of Fame coming off their bench. How about that? Russell Westbrook. They also have a guy that's probably going to be announced right after game one as a top seven finalist for Sixth Man of the Year in Norman Powell. And then they have a bunch of other players up and down the roster, big
top
and
seven?
Small. It's seven finalists
They're
for each.
They're naming seven finalists for each award.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. How many ribbons are we handing out?
Okay, just because you're a finalist doesn't mean you get anything. It just builds intrigue.
Yeah, and playing teams too again? Like, are we
just... It builds intrigue. Such a hater.
Builds intrigue.
It does.
I can't wait to see these seven.
It builds intrigue, man. So, Norm Powell, anyway, getting back on track, Mr. Land the Plane.
No, I was just throwing off. I was like, did you say that right? Like,
yeah, they also have other guys on their team that are good too. So Austin.
Don't even. I can't wait to see how you land this plane with all this coffee.
I will. I have one coffee. Can we restart?
One coffee with like three shots in it.
No. Zero.
You're just going to keep the plane in the air all day.
Maybe I will. Gosh. I got nothing to do until Sunday. This is a 48-hour podcast. Strap yourselves in. Austin, which of the non-three, so which of the non-PG Kawhi and Beards are you most afraid of, or maybe you think could be like the Clippers' X factor?
I'll go with Norman Powell. Like you just mentioned, you were talking about their three-point shooting, Isaac, and they have all these playmakers. They have the ability to go one-on-one and then kick it out, and Norman Powell is a guy who can knock down shots. He's kind of like a Tim Hardaway Jr. for them. Like, he can come in and can provide a spark, and when he gets hot, he's really good. So that could be dangerous. If he gets going early in this series and he's feeling good and confident and he's knocking down those outside shots along with the big three of the Clippers, like, doing their thing as well, I think that could be a really big difference maker in this series. So you just want to know where he's at all times, contain him, and not allow him to get hot early in the series.
This season against the Mavs, 66.7% on threes, a 972 true shooting percentage. Shout out DFW. So that's pretty cool to see. The one game, again, the Clippers lost. Norm Powell, 0-for-1 from the floor.
There
but the
go.
Two games they won, he was a combined 11-of-14, including 6-of-9 from three.
Yeah. Dang. So you got to know where he's at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll go with Russ. You know, there's just something about the energy, the intensity that a guy that Russ brings, and Dallas is going to have to match that in that second unit. And I mean, I feel like you can just lock it in that there's going to be some techs. There's going to be some trash talking. That's something I've always respected about Russ's game, is he is always going to be playing at 100 miles an hour and giving everything he has. So he's just going to come into the game and be that. I mean, he's probably the third best perimeter defender after – or no, sorry. I was forgetting about injured Kawhi. The best one off the bench, you know. So, yeah, he's going to play some defense. He's going to muck it up at times with his intensity and all of that. I think, you know, can you try to figure out where you want Russ to shoot the ball at? Like, you want to dare him. What are you okay with, you know, when you're facing the Clippers? Like, are you okay with can you dare Russ to shoot the long twos and all of that, compared to Russ getting to the lane and kicking out to some three-point shooters and all that? But Russ is the guy that I'm like, I think he's going to put his stamp on the series. So how can Dallas match that in energy?
I'm going to cheat and say it's a tie between those two. You know, the Clippers bigs like Zubats and Tice especially could swing the series, and Terrence Mann has had some really good moments against the Mavs over the years, especially kind of turning up the temperature against Luka. But like, Russ can turn up the temperature too against everybody. Mm-hmm. Like you said, Isaac, I mean, he can get the crowd into it. He is really the one guy on the Clippers that can thrive in that sort of open court affair if the Mavs turn it, you know, into one of those. Yeah. If it's a half court game, then obviously I don't really feel like that suits Russ's strengths anymore, especially with his role on the team. I feel like the Mavs might kind of roam off of him, put their big man on Russ, or, you know, Gafford or Lively or Maxey or whoever, and kind of cheat off of him, in which case they're going to allow a lot of open threes. And if he makes those, that's really bad. But if it becomes a back and forth, fast paced, up and down kind of thing, Russ can still outrun anybody in the league. And his dunks count for 5 points. Like, you know, he can kind of get in your head. He takes chances on defense, which you can exploit, but also he gets a lot of steals that way, forces a lot of turnovers. This season, without Russ, the Clippers went 6-8. This season, when Russ had at least a neutral plus minus, the Clippers were 33-6, and he's coming off the bench in pretty much all of those games. So, you know, for the Mavs, if you look at like the stretch, the home stretch of the season, a lot of the games they lost and some of the games that they maybe struggled to win but did eventually prevail in was because the other team's bench was outscoring them. Think of that Warriors game in Golden State. The bench points were like 39-13. Well, Russ off the bench, if the bench outbeats the other team's bench, the Clippers are almost undefeated. Another guy that contributes to that is Norman Powell, mm-hmm. who, if you're going to have to double-team Kawhi or double-team Paul George or double-team Harden, or if Russ is breaking you down on the perimeter, you're going to have to help and sag off somebody, and Norm is the guy that's posted up in the corner, spotted up in the corner here like we are in Studio 41, and he's just going to bomb open threes. And the Mavs allow a lot of corner threes, and Norman Powell will be the guy to get those shots. So those two players, you know, you can game plan all you want for all the superstars, and you can execute that game plan really well. But both of those guys off the bench can combine to give the Clippers 30 or 40 points or something, and that can win you a game.
And both of those guys have experience playing in the playoffs as well. Powell has won with the Raptors, and Russ has, you know, he's a veteran. He's been in the league a long time, so he understands, like, playoff basketball as well. And we'll talk about, like, X factors for Mavs later on, but a lot of those guys, PJ, Derek, Daniel, like, they don't have as much playoff experience, so that could also just be a bigger difference as well, just thinking about, like, they understand the playoffs and they kind of know what it takes once you get to postseason basketball. So
yeah, I mean, these guys are the Clippers are a pretty old team,
right?
It's a lot of guys that are on the other side of 30.
Yeah,
some guys are pushing like 35, but with that comes age,
yeah,
wisdom.
So there's ways you can take advantage of it, but yeah
for sure.
Bones Highland's like, I'm not old.
Bones Highland, hey, Bones Highland had a great game against the Mavs last year with the Nuggets. Remember that?
Yeah.
No Jokic, no Gordon, no Porter. I think no Murray. Like, no. Porter played, but none of the other guys did. Bones Highland had like 25 points.
Yeah.
What are we doing, guys?
And Denver's like, see ya.
Just leave Bones Highland on the bench in this series. I don't want to see him. I don't want to see him. Thankfully, no Reggie Jackson. That yes. guy is
or,
a Mavs killer.
Or Nick Batum.
Or Nick Batum, also a Mavs killer.
Shout out to Nick Batum, who's probably going to get some minutes guarding Jalen Brunson.
Yeah.
In round one. And, revisit all those memories from Clippers Mavs.
Time is a flat circle. What that'll be really cool to see how Jalen handles that.
That was the weirdest saying. Time is a flat circle.
Isn't that a thing? Back me up. like, that's from a TV help. Show.
He just like looks help, at
True Detective.
Help. Back me up.
Y'all aren't now. Cultured. All right. Oh, suddenly I know more about pop culture than you two.
That's
That's my, not a, how the turntables.
That's not a reality show, so yeah, I don't know.
Oh, wow. Okay. It would be weird if it was a reality show. Okay, so one last thing about the Clippers before we turn our attention back to the Mavs. If you are Ty Lue, you're Clippers fans, you're Clippers Twitter, you're influencing the action on the floor. What are you trying to do against the Mavs? So let's rewind the clock back to 2020 and 2021. You know, in 2020, again, by the end of the series, there was no KP, there was no Brunson. It was a lot of, like, Luka ISO. And so the Clippers essentially stayed home on the shooters and dared Luka to score 80 points. And he almost did, but he didn't. In 2021, the Clippers went small, which kind of forced the Mavs to go small until they were like, no, screw that. Let's go as gigantic as we possibly can. They put Boban at the 5, KP at the 4, which meant Kawhi was guarding KP, so KP kind of became like a decoy post-up or like spot-up shooter in the corner, kind of like hanging out in the baseline. And once again, the Clippers just stayed home on all the shooters and dared Luka to beat them. Now, it's a little different this time because the Mavs have Kyrie, so it's not like you can just – I don't think you want both of those guys to just cook you because that's a lot of free points for those two. But how are you defending Dallas? Are you going to double Luka? Are you going to double Kyrie? Are you going to try and go small? Are you going to try and go big? Are you going to stay home on the shooters? Like – What are you trying to do as the Clippers to seduce the Mavs to play into your clutches?
Well, I think their focus is figuring out how to stop Luka and Kyrie, and they've been creative in their ways of what they're doing on defense throughout the season. When we've seen them, we've seen Luka get double teamed off the screen. We've seen the hard hedges. We've seen Zubac even starting on him. So we've seen them try to do different things. None of it really works. But I think that is going to have to be their number one focus, is figuring out how to stop Luka. Someone asked Terrence Mann in their media this week, like, do you enjoy playing Luka or guarding him? And he looked at them like they were crazy. And he's like, no. Like, I mean, and a lot of guys would say, yeah, like, we want to play the best, like, to be the best. We want to beat the best. But he was like, no, like, who would like guarding Luka? Like, yeah. He is hard to stop. So, like, that is their number one focus, is figuring out how to stop Luka and Kyrie, both of them. They are just so much of a playmaker, like, they can go one-on-one, but they can also get their other teammates involved. So I think that's their focus.
So you're trying to force them to pass?
Yes. I would say they would probably leave, you know, the shooters out in the corner, give them a little bit of space, and see early on in the series, like, if they're going to be hot. And then if they are, and the Mavs knock down their shots, then you have to make those adjustments. But I think regardless, you're going to see a lot of adjustments. You're going to see a lot of different things. You're not going to see the Clippers do one thing and stick with just that one plan.
So basically you're saying in game one, we might see, hey, first quarter, Derrick Jones, PJ Washington.
They have some looks.
Fire away.
I think they'll have opportunities to get some looks up and see if they can knock them down.
Okay. Isaac, are you doing that, or are you going to do the 2021 game plan?
Yeah, I think overall in the series, I don't know if this will be exactly game one from opening tip, but I think overall I would go into it and saying, all right, you know, PJ, Derrick Jones Jr., Exum, they're going to beat us in this series. And just dare, you know, I think I would probably go small a little bit, you know, faster if I was the Clippers. Obviously try to slow it down. You know, they know that Luka likes getting Zubats and, you know, ISO'd out and everything. You know, we talked about this early in the week, but, you know, do you put a Kawhi on a Gafford to where, you know, you're kind of daring them? It's like, hey, if you want to run this pick and roll with Gafford out here, cool, we'll switch it. And now we have Kawhi and Luka, kind of like they did with Porzingis. So do they do that? I could see them do that, and then putting Zubats on a Derrick Jones or something like that. And I think that would be something I would do. I would try to play Gafford off the floor, kind of like, you know, you look at some of their adjustments from that 2021, I think it was 2021, when they played the Jazz, and, you know, they lost those first two games to Utah. Rudy had those great plus minus, you know, or great games in those games, and then they just really went ultra small, put Marcus Morris at the 5 and all of that. And, you know, you got to play Rudy, but – so for Dallas, do they try to do something like that, launch the threes? They don't really shoot a ton of, like, in volume threes, but they shoot it really efficient. So do they try to shoot more threes, play the bigs off the floor, and then say, all right, try to match us and go small, and then we'll bank on our defense versus your defense? And one of the things we've talked about is, you know, what defense do you believe in more? Dallas's defense has been really hot of late, but they don't really have the, like, household names. Where the Clippers, they've kind of struggled on defense as of late, but they have the Kawhi and Paul George and these guys. So it's like, will the Clippers just bank on that and say, hey, I think we'll bank on our experience and who we are, who we have been defensively. And, yeah, so I think, yeah, as much as you're picking your poison with, like, what you want, kind of, can I do devil's advocate, though?
Yeah.
And just do, like, the other way of that? I could also see a different version of it to where they say, Luka, do your ISO against Zubats. Shoot it a ton. We would rather you do that, especially at the beginning, and then and take the shooters out of it and bank on them just not being in rhythm at the end of the game compared to at the beginning. And we see, and we know how much Luka loves it, you know, score in the first quarter, and they kind of play into that and say, like, Luka, you can have 22 in the first quarter as long as the other guys aren't getting in rhythm and getting shots up. And then you kind of switch that and shift that towards the end of the game or halfway through the series or whenever it is. And then you're throwing these guys off. And then it's PJ, Derrick Jones getting all these shots in the fourth quarter. And they're like, well, dang, we haven't really shot it much all game. And you kind of bank on that. So
that's what makes it so interesting.
I just did a full circle.
Like, both of these are perfectly viable plans, you know? And that's like, that's what makes a playoff series, one single game so tough, right? But a playoff series so difficult is, you could see all of these things just kind of intermeshed. What if the Clippers say, you know what, screw it, we're not going small, we're going even bigger than you. What if they leave Zubats on Luka the whole series? Like, it literally anything could happen, you know? So you, as the Mavs, have to be prepared for all of that stuff. And your point about the shooters, like, the shooters got to be ready to shoot, you know, if they're going to be double-teamed. But also, they got to try and find a way to stay warm if they're not getting, if Luka's not getting double teamed. Because if Luka and Kyrie aren't getting double teamed, those guys are going to put the ball up. Like, they're going to try and get buckets. And so, hey, PJ Washington, Derrick Jones, you might go 15 minutes in real time without even touching the ball, like, legitimately. But hey, you better be ready. You're wide open right now. And we need this shot. You know, it's tough, but that's what makes it the playoffs. That's what makes it so interesting. Okay. Let's talk now about the Mavs. Let's talk about the team that's the one for Dallas.
It's one for all.
One for all, Dallas. What are you feeling most confident about? Because now, and we've talked about the Clippers a little bit. Now I'm like feeling kind of spooky. You know, I'm feeling a little scared. Like, man, they got a lot of good players. Wow, their bench is really good. Oh, man, they have so many options to defend the Mavs. But what are you feeling good about from the Mavs' perspective heading into the series?
I think the Mavs are locked in, they're focused, and they're going to come out and win game one. Like,
okay.
I feel good about it. I feel like they are in a good spot mentally. A lot of the guys have talked about how Luka and Kyrie and some of the veterans have talked to the team of what to expect in the playoffs. You know, like, it's going to be like a war. You got to be prepared. It's going to be physical. Like, you got to just not let any outside distractions get to you. I think everyone for the Mavs organization is, like, so ready for this game one. Every player is just, like, excited to get out there and actually play. They've been playing great the past couple months, and I think that's going to carry over, and they're going to come out and, like, have that throw that first punch, and they're going to win game one and start the series off on, like, a really, really high note.
The game one guarantee.
Yep.
I love it.
You heard it here.
Flames. Can we do some post-production, like, fire coming out of Austin's,
like,
juice can?
Just the fire emoji everywhere.
You get
just, like,
the flames from the arena.
Yeah, yeah, just like just a lot of, but like safe flames. This is all, yeah. Isaac, what about you? What are you feeling? Can you top that? Can you top a guarantee?
I'm really confident that we'll see multiple shoe swaps from Luka in the games.
All right.
That
he's debuting the Luka 3, right?
Yeah, he probably will, but he's been going back to the Luka 1s a lot. I don't know what that says about the Luka 2s, but he's just been going back to the ones a lot. But we should see the Luka 3s out there. And anyway, no, I mean, I'll do the cop-out super easy answer. I am just beyond confident that Luka is just going to be at the, you know, apex of his game. That we've seen him do this in the playoffs against, you know, the Clippers before and not be there's really nobody he's scared of. But the Kawhis and Paul George, like we've talked about, you know, in the past, like this team was like built in a lab to like stop Luka, and yet he averages over 30 a game against them, you know. So I'm just really confident that Luka's gonna have like an insane statistical series against the Clippers again, and he's not gonna be scared at all. So that's the easiest answer.
I think that Austin had a more fiery take.
Well, yeah.
Point. Score one to Austin.
Let's hear a fiery take.
All right. So I got a little bit. I'm feeling really confident about this one. I think that Kyrie's going to outscore Luka in at least two of the games and at least two wins. How about that?
Good.
I think Kyrie is going to like maybe go off a little bit. I don't want to gas him up too much, but like just as you said about, you know, the Clippers have all these options for Luka, and Luka's never really been truly phased by any of them, with the exception of Kawhi definitely got the better of him in the fourth quarter of game six in 21. But otherwise, Luka's kind of been able to get his. But really, and I don't want to eat my words on this, but, you know, Paul George might spend some time on Kyrie, Russ might, Terrence Mann might, but I don't really feel like any of those guys have the right sort of profile to stop Kyrie. I mean, really nobody can stop Kyrie, honestly. He can get to any spot and score from any spot on the floor. You definitely don't want Kawhi chasing around Kyrie. You don't want Harden chasing around Kyrie. Like, if they're going to focus all their attention on Luka, that means that Kyrie's going to have a lot of angles to drive, a lot of angles to cut, slash. You know he's going to pull up from three. If this series does become a battle of pace, I'm super confident in Kyrie's ability to get up and down the floor and outrun pretty much all these guys. I just feel really, really good about Kyrie's ability to push for like 30, 35 points in any game. I think he's going to be aggressive. I think the opportunities are going to be there. And I don't think that you can build a defense that can limit both Luka and Kyrie. And if you're going to choose one to limit, you're probably going to choose Luka because he led the league in scoring this season, which means Kyrie might be ready to go off. And I don't mean Kyrie's going to outscore Luka because Luka's going to have bad games. I'm saying like I think we're going to have the LeBron-Kyrie finals graphic where they're like both going for 40 kind of thing. I think they're going to completely go nuclear.
And Kyrie's talked about that, how he learned, like, in those situations, like, you kind of have to figure out, like, who's going to take over. Like, I mean, and they figured that out all season. You know, they've gotten to that groove of they know who to trust and, you know, who's going to shoot it, who's going to take the ball, like, who's going to get that last shot. But, like, this is, like, another level of, like, that trust factor of, like, who's going to take over, like, who is going to get that shot. And Kyrie's talked about it, like, learning, like, from that with playing with LeBron. So I think they just both have that trust in each other. And, like, Luka will happily be like, I'm getting double-teamed. Here you go, Kyrie. Like, go do your thing.
Yeah. I mean, Kyrie is, like, the most cold-blooded player in the clutch this season. Or, I mean, certainly one of them. He will probably be one of the top seven finalists for Clutch Player of the Year, Isaac. Mavs 16-4 in clutch games when Kyrie played this season. And I suspect that most of these games will come down to the final couple minutes, as they almost always do in the playoffs. So we were going to do, like, what are y'all feeling most iffy about? And in our little pre-show, pre-pro meeting, you said the same answer. So I was like, well, let's just scrap that and skip right to, do the Clippers have weaknesses, any weaknesses? And if so, how can the Mavs attack them? And again, your answer for that is also kind of the what are you feeling most iffy about? So, like, This is a strength of the Mavs and a potential pitfall of the Clippers, but only if the Mavs can really capitalize on it.
Yeah, I think the pace of this game, we've mentioned it a couple of times already, like, will be so important. You said, like, once you get to the playoffs, sometimes that pace slows down. And we know Luka one-on-one can play that slower pace and can go score, but the Mavs have figured out a way to play faster this season, and it's worked for them. And we have Kyrie, someone who can push the ball up the floor, and the Clippers are a team, we talked about their defenders, like, if they get set up in their defense, like, it's going to be harder to score. So if you can get some looks in transition, that's the easiest time. So in a series like this, once you get to the playoffs, there's so much film work and preparation that goes into the game. Like, you are breaking down, like, every single thing of what the Clippers can do, how we can take advantage, how we can score against them. And I think in that film work, they're going to see a lot of, like, this is the best way to score is in transition, playing with that pace. And so we need to continue playing like that, like we've done this season.
Yeah, Isaac, the Clippers are top half in defense following a made shot by their offense. They're bottom 10 in defense following a missed shot by their offense. They're bottom 5 following a missed shot at the rim. So it's not just that the Mavs can exploit them by moving the ball, by pushing it up the floor, but also you're playing right into their hands if you don't do that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing I'm kind of scared about, is kind of reverting back to old habits, you know, especially when the times get tough. And, you know, I said this the other day on the stream, and there are people like, oh, well, we can still win. Yeah, I'm not saying that we can't win if we, you know, the Mavericks go, you know, it goes to a slower pace. It's just like, this is like, to you want to try to get the other team out of what they're comfortable in. And that's the Clippers. The Clippers want to slow it down and kind of dissect you and all of that. And they are a little bit older. So You know, if you up the pace and you keep that going and keep it going for a series, you know, if you're in a game six or game seven, are you a little bit more less winded? You know, or you have some younger legs in that. So that's what I get a little scared about, that it's intense. You know, it's a closer game. It's the playoffs. And you have two great isolation scorers, two great guys that can dissect defenses in Kyrie and Luka, that it's like, all right, let's slow this thing down. Let's walk it up, and then let's do our thing. It's like they got to continuously push this pace, get out and transition, all of that stuff. So we'll see. We'll see who wins out on that.
Well, and the challenge with that is, you know, the Clippers, by and large, have a little more free-flowing offense now than they did before because of Harden. Right.
Yeah.
And Harden will turn it over a little bit, but the Clippers don't really turn it over much at all. They're around league average in turnover rate this season. And so it's not like you're just going to get a boatload of steals and you can just get out and just run. I mean, you have to deliberately push the tempo off a miss. You have to even race it up the floor after a make. Like, it has to be ingrained in your consciousness. Like, we are going to run at all times, like at every single time. And that's going to be tough for, I think, for Luka especially, because the Clippers are probably going to throw all sorts of, they're going to mix up looks on him. It's going to be it might not be a physically exhausting series, but it'll definitely be a mentally exhausting series. And whenever you become mentally exhausted, sometimes it is easier to just like slow down, take a deep breath, you know, just like regather yourself, collect it. But you can't do that. Like, you got to run, you know.
And it might be a little off topic, but something I would love to see is, If the Clippers zag a little bit, and let's say they put Zubats on Luka, and just like, all right, let's just like really throw this out, you know, could we see Luka as a screener more for Kyrie? And then it's Luka screening for Kyrie, and it's like, all right, well, are you going to switch Zubats on Kyrie coming off this, or are you going to hit Luka as like a roller? And like, then it's like, well, the Clippers got to make a choice. Then they take Zubats out, or they don't. And there's this whole thing. That's the chess match stuff that I would just love to see a Luka Kyrie pick and roll and a little bit more. It'd be kind of fun.
Yeah, Austin, I meant to ask you too, whenever you were talking about you'd think the Clippers might double Luka. Well, What if it's Kyrie screening for Luka? Can you afford to double Luka? Or can you, in that instance, could you afford to double Kyrie? Because then all of a sudden you're letting one of those guys play 4-on-3 with the ball in their hands.
I don't think the Clippers should do the double team. Luka has flat out said, like, I like when teams double team me. Like, I can recognize that I'm getting double teamed and I can find someone else open. So like, if he is straight up saying like, go ahead, double team me, like he's confident that like he can break down the defense when they get to that. So I don't think that, especially when it's with Kyrie too, where he can go off the ball screen and create so much and get downhill. Like I think that's going to be hard for the Clippers, and they shouldn't do that. Like that the Mavs will be able to take advantage.
He does. If a team leaves a guy on him for too long one-on-one and he starts getting going, he will look over to the opposing coach and just say, like, what are you – like, literally say, what are you doing? Like, he'll just point at the guy and be like, come on. Like,
give me a different challenge.
Some guys get mad when they get double-teamed. Yeah. Luka gets offended when he's not being double-teamed. Yeah. You know, that dude is a
– Who would get mad if they got double-teamed and, like, pick up or anything?
I couldn't imagine anybody doing it, but I've heard rumors that guys will complain if they get double teamed.
Austin, did you hear that Bobby hit a game winning shot the other day?
I did.
Yeah.
I did.
No way.
Mav staff pick up basketball.
What?
Hit a three to seal it. And before it even went in, I was already holding it up.
Knew.
Oh, yeah.
You were feeling it.
It felt good coming off the fingertips.
Are you left handed?
No. Well, this one hand was up. So I just.
Okay.
I shot that one left handed and it went in. I was missing so many righty. No, it just went up and I was like, yeah, it was just in.
Wow.
You know, and how many other shots did I make that night? It's none of your business. I'm not going to talk about it.
You made the most important one.
I did.
You're like the Norm Powell or like kind of like the Tim.
Yeah, I was like the X Factor.
Yeah.
You know, I was the X Factor. Speaking of X Factors, Isaac, who is your Mavs X Factor? Who's the guy? I mean, we can talk about Luka and Kyrie forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And never run out of things to say. But there's a whole lot of other guys on this team that could have huge, huge, huge impacts on the way this thing plays out.
Yeah, PJ Washington. I mean, he's going to play 35, 40 minutes a night. He's, I mean, arguably their best wing defender, him, Derrick Jones Jr. He's going to be the guy that they dare to shoot in these corners. And, you know, looking at some of his numbers the other day, it's like since he came to Dallas, if he shoots 35% or more from three, they're 6-1. And, you know, he's had these games where he gets hot from three, especially as of late over the past, you know, 3 or 4 weeks. But that's, I mean, he's the biggest one for me that if he shoots it, if you had to say like one player outside of Kyrie and Luka has a great series, that it almost guarantees, for me, in my opinion, that almost guarantees them a series win. And it, you're telling me it's PJ Washington, I would say, all right, yeah, they're going to win the series.
Yeah, PJ's a good one. Derek Jones is a good one just because he has been like just so consistent and kind of like under the radar. Like no one talks about him, but he does so many different little things really well. But I think I'll go with Dante Exum. He's a guy, and Coach Kidd even kind of said, like, we have Luke and Kyrie who, like, are the veterans, and they've, you know, told these other guys, like, what to expect in the playoffs. And Exum, he's like, we consider Exum a veteran because he's done it overseas. Like, he's played at a really high level overseas, so it hasn't been in the NBA the past couple years. But he still has that experience. He is just so poised. He doesn't turn the ball over. He takes care of it. He can direct the offense. And he's been shooting it really well. This is the best year in his career that he's shooting the ball. And so if he can knock down those shots.
Bucket.
Yep. I think.
Got it.
I think he's the X factor. Luka said it. He's so important to this team. So I'll go with Dante.
Dante's Inferno. There was a moment after he made that shot against Houston where I leaned over to Mike. Were you at that game?
No, because it was,
I can't remember. Okay,
it was
yeah.
Sunday.
So I leaned over to Mike and I was like, I'm not sure they know that it's only tied, because like the whole bench came out on the floor and it was like, I hope they don't get suspended. Dante has hit a bunch of big shots. PJ is going to need to hit a bunch of big shots. And I think that odds are high, probably the longer the series goes, that the Mavs are going to be closing games with both of those guys on the floor.
Yep.
And potentially Derek Jones alongside Luke and Kyrie. Like, as this series gets smaller, that means more minutes for Dante, especially in high leverage situations. So those two guys better come ready to ball. Mine is a guy who, when he gets hot, I think the Mavs are going to win probably 100% of the time. Tim Hardaway Jr. I'm not sure how much he's going to play in this series. I have no idea. I don't know if he's going to play 25 minutes a game, if he's going to play 5 minutes a game. You know, Josh is back. I'm not sure where he factors into the rotation, but especially if this series stays big-ish, right? Like if Lively and Gafford are able to play for most of the game, and if Maxey's giving you backup minutes off the bench at 4 and 5, and Jones is making shots and Exum is playing well, I'm not sure where Tim fits into that math. But if he comes into the game and is going to knock down 5 threes in a quarter, then the Mavs are going to win that game. Like it's going to happen. So I think his impact on winning, like the ceiling is super duper high, right? He makes a couple shots, boom. Especially on nights when other guys are cold. Like, you know that Tim is probably going to be able to outshoot most of these guys in a series if you give him the same shots.
Yeah, and, you know, I was thinking in regards to Tim, just, I mean, last week you were talking about how many games they've won this season because of Tim.
Yeah.
And
I mean, maybe not because of him, but certainly, like, they would not have won without him.
Yeah, and it's like, are we going to see one of these games in this playoff series because Tim hits 6 threes in a game?
He did it game 1 and 2 against LA in 2021.
Yeah.
Different role. I mean, he was starting and playing 35 minutes a game. But, I mean, if you're talking like X factor, which is truly the way I see it, is like if this guy plays poorly, it kind of stinks. But if this guy plays well, then like it boosts your chances by 80, 90%. Like Tim is the quintessential X factor, I think, in this series, because any offense that he provides you is a huge bonus, because you know you're already getting offense from Luke and Kyrie, and you know you're already getting the defense from other guys. So if Tim is making shots, then you're just laughing. You're just sitting there chuckling to yourself. Jason Kidd with his just going to be, ha, ha, ha.
Does he laugh?
On the inside, his internal monologue will just be gleeful. You know? I feel like I had the best takes today.
Whoa.
Humble brag.
Whoa!
Humble brag.
I feel good about my takes. In fact, you know what? Kyrie's gonna outscore Luke in 3 games.
Oh,
this series. How about that,
dude? You're gonna watch.
I'm warming up.
Just stop while you're ahead.
Like Luke is gonna be heating up. They're like, stop, pass it.
You're gonna watch so many boat documentaries today.
Oh, I'm fired up, dude.
You're excited.
I got the juices flowing in here. All right,
Pokemon.
What'd you put in this?
I don't know.
What's in here?
What's going on?
All right, let's close it out. Let's close it out today with some series predictions here. So this is our first time we've uttered out loud our predictions of this series. Now your options are Mavs in 4, 5, 6, or 7, or the NBA will cancel the season. So choose wisely.
Don't joke like that.
It's happened before.
Brings back memories.
All right, it's happened before. It wouldn't be our first rodeo. Who wants to go first? Who's brave enough to dip their toes right into to dive headfirst into the deep end?
I'll go.
All right.
I think you guys said that Dirk said yesterday, Mavs in 6.
That's right.
And
he did.
I'm just going to agree with Dirk. Like, how do you go against what Dirk says? So I will 100% support Dirk and his prediction that the Mavs 1-6.
Dirk is so valid. By the way, Dirk gave that prediction next door at the Echo Lounge. In an episode of Top Shelf with Devin Harris presented by Hennessy. That episode will be released on YouTube and Spotify and iTunes and all those places at some point next week. Can't give you an exact date because it depends on a lot of things that are not under my specific control, but that will be coming out very soon. By all accounts, is a great show. Full house over there yesterday. And Dirk obviously is a legend. He did, spoiler alert, close out the episode with a Mavs in 6 prediction.
I'm backing him up.
Who are we to disagree with
exactly.
Dirk?
You're such a company, man. That was good.
Thank you.
That's good.
What's your prediction?
Mavs in 5.
Wow.
Yeah. No, I'm there.
All right. That's a scorching hot. Okay. It's back to 1-1. Between you. That's a scorching
but
hot.
You're still
thing.
Up. You're still.
I'm up like, I'm up 7,
okay,
8.
Yeah.
One.
Yeah. I've been here all week, but we've just been waiting to do our predictions on Friday. But yeah, I'm confident about it. I think Mavs in 5.
Wow.
And I think with Mavs right now, you look across the board with, you know, who's the hottest teams in the league. I think Dallas is right there. Kyrie's healthy. Luka's healthy. The chemistry is off the charts. They've been playing good basketball. I think they're ready for it. And I think, you know, yes, it's not round 3, but you also look at the past and hey, we've lost 2 series against these guys. A lot of people like to throw out a lot of the Luka stats against the Clippers in the playoffs and how he dominates them. And that's all true, but they still lost those 2 playoff series, and he obviously knows that and remembers that. So I think they're going to come out, and I think it's going to be one of the bigger statements of the first round of the playoffs, and they're going to beat the Clippers in 5 games.
I mean, it would be, because that means you have to beat them on the road at least 2 times, you know, yep, to win in 5. And now they've been a good road team this year. A gentleman's sweep is like pretty one-sided. Are you thinking these are all gonna be close games, or you think they're like,
no, I think there's close games in there, but okay. I think they split in LA and then they win 3 in a row.
Wow. So, that is such a hot take.
Holy sorry.
Moly. But you love it.
I love it. So I'm like so excited. That fired me up, you know? I also think that they're going to split in LA in the first 2 games. I think the Mavs are playing super duper ultra well right now. And I think that the Clippers are facing some questions with Kawhi's health. And is he going to be in rhythm? Like, what is that whole thing going to look like? The Mavs have a lot more data on the Clippers this year than the Clippers do on them. Because the Mavs have seen their whole team this season 3 times. The Clippers have never seen this version of the Mavs before. So they're starting with a little, you know, they're getting a little bit of a head start here. I'm not prepared to say Mavs in 5. I feel really, I feel confident about the Mavs' chance to win this series in 6 games. That's what I'll say. Would not surprise me if this series goes 7, though, because Kawhi is one of the scariest people of all time. You know, he's just I'm sure he's a great, wonderful guy. I'm sure he's just the best dude. He likes to have fun, but he does seem like a really scary fellow. And until you beat the boogeyman, he is going to scare you a little bit. And I think the Mavs will get it done. But I think it's going to be a little bit of a longer series. So I'll say Mavs in 6 optimistically, or Mavs in 7 to cover my butt and also to disagree.
You know, and we're just giving fans more games to watch. Like, you know, like, more entertainment.
It's actually selfless if you think about it. Like, I think, you know, the Mavs will pull ahead 3-1 in the series and then just play both game 5 and game 6 and then bench everybody, like literally play 5-on-0 for the last couple minutes just to make the Clippers win to this thing. No, you don't.
No. Don't play with your food.
Yeah, don't do that.
Okay. Well,
if you're up 3-1.
You don't
want to
play 5-on-0? That would freak them out. Ty Lue would never expect that.
What a chess move right there.
Yeah. Sack your queen for a pawn. What do they do? I don't know.
No, if they're up 3-1, they better close it out.
Wow. I mean, 3-1 is going to be tough. I do know this, though. The atmosphere at American Airlines Center in 2020 was non-existent because that was in the bubble. In 2021, Game three was one of the coolest atmospheres I've ever been a part of in my life.
Yeah.
Game four, the Clippers kind of ran away with it early, so it was sort of a bummer. But game six was super loud, too. The AAC knows how to turn up. And these fans, like we talked about at the top of the show, it might not feel like part three to the players, right, to the organizations. New coach, new player, everything. But to the fans, dude, we got a score to settle with these guys. Yeah. They beat us twice. You know, I think the fans are going to bring it, and this building can get super-duper loud. I think back to that Sun series in 2022. It was chaotic in that building. And so I'm expecting game three, you know, especially if the Mavs come home, you know, tied at 1-1 or even up 2-0 somehow, that building is going to be absolutely electric.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. Okay, that was a great preview. We got you nice and ready to go for Mavs, Clippers, part three, kind of, with an asterisk next to it. I'll stop calling that part three for Isaac's sake. But it is the third time they've played in the playoffs, and hopefully it'll be the first time the Mavs prevail. We hope you enjoy the first weekend of basketball. For everybody in the back, hey, for Kat and Chopper, thank y'all for your hard work. Don't forget to check out Top Shelf with Dirk next week. That's a Kat and Chopper joint, alongside Devin Harris, of course, who's the host. Brilliant stuff from them yesterday at the Echo Lounge. For Austin and Isaac, I'm Bobby. Have a great weekend. And one for Dallas.